Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, and our fine intern from the University of Arizona, Summer, is with us again on the other side of the glass. Hi, Summer. Good to see you. That big smile. Nice to see Summer along with Ray, and together we all welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, September the 25th, the first day that I could actually break out the hot chocolate. This morning, the backyard thermometer said right around 50 degrees. And I think Jeff Beamish, the Channel 4 weatherman, was saying that it was probably the coolest September day in about 13 years, as I recall. That's right. And the coolest low we've had since May 17. I will take it. They used to say around here that it didn't get cool until Halloween. Well, It came a little early this year, and I certainly will welcome it, and I know everybody else will as well. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040, if you would like to call us and join in the conversation. Of course, Monday we do begin with our political face-off, the Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. This is a terrific family-owned business. They specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. But the framing they do there is just of museum quality, top-notch. I picked up an item this week from Mo, and it's just a beautiful. They do beautiful work. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com and on Facebook. And Mo, we do support, appreciate your support. He likes lively political debates, and I think we deliver on that note with our Monday political face-off. Today we have Dr. Don Jorgensen with us, seated to my left. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, are you welcoming this cool weather?
I went out for a run this morning, bright and early, before 6 a.m., and I was surprised at how cool it was, and do I welcome it? Absolutely.
You bet. James Kelly is with us. Jim Kelly, longtime Republican Party activist. Jim, how are you?
I am well. Thank you, Bill.
And I know that your lovely cat, Chowder, probably when these cool mornings, this is really the time that Chowder likes to curl up, right?
Oh, yeah. He slept in this morning. He did. He slept in. He slept in an extra hour this morning.
Oh yeah, the life of a cat. No, I love Chowder very much. Got to meet him recently at your house, and I appreciate that very much. All right, Don and Jim, in a rare move, a super PAC. PACs are political action committees opened a Tucson office to help Congresswoman McSally. This is a move that is coming from the D.C.-based Congressional Leadership Fund, which has ties, Jim Kelly, to, I guess, House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Yeah, that's correct, the Congressional Leadership Fund. It's a good move, and Corin Bliss is a very intelligent guy. One of the things that we've always complained about is money coming in late and parachuting in with people that don't know our district. So now we have an office that said, we're going to start early, and we're going to do this very smart and very intelligently. And I, for one, am very pleased that Corin's here, that Sam Ledoux is here, and that the Congressional Leadership Fund is here. It's needed. Yeah, everybody says it's a rare move. Well, the Democrats have permanent PAC offices in Tucson, Arizona, with a number of different groups. So for us to come in early, yeah, it is rare. It's a rare move for the Republican Congressional Fund. But it's a good move, and it's a smart move, and I'm very glad that they're here.
Don Jorgensen, what does that say, though, about the CD2 race?
Oh, it's competitive. There's no question about that this year. You know, with the mid-year election with an unpopular president and a candidate who's voted with that president over 95% of the time, the Republicans realize that McSally needs help in order to keep that seat. And so, no, it's not unusual for money to come in. I'm sure the Republicans are delighted that they're coming in. But I have two words that we have to watch for, and that's dark money. Mm-hmm. How much of this is going to come from out-of-state donors, big out-of-state donors, without knowing who those donors are to influence our local Southern Arizona race? That's the question.
Well, the dark money comes in on both sides.
No, it's
Ann Kirkpatrick parachutes in, lives in a gated community just north of Fort Lowell there behind the Gregory School and is hiding out. And she thinks she's going to win. That's just not going to happen.
How can she be hiding out if you just described where she lives?
She's, you know, basically
not hiding very well.
She's acting like an elitist, and that's just not going to go over at the blue collar Tucson and the blue collar district that is here.
Words, that's all that
the
is.
Reality of it is this: is that that money gets played on both sides, and we often know that sometimes it's the same people with the same checkbook covering their bets. So you know, when everybody wants to yell about dark money, there's dark money in all parts of this. It's called a political action committee for a reason, and that's what they do.
Well, you're confusing political action committee and money that comes into them with dark money, which is where it's hidden. You don't know where it comes from. That hasn't been the case with the Democratic PACs in Arizona. I know it will not be the case this year. We don't know that with the CLF. The other thing we do know, one of the reasons the Republicans are coming in, and no one is puzzled about why that's the case, is that so far with all the races that we've seen, all the special elections, both at the national level replacing Congress men and women in places like South Dakota, Kansas, Georgia, even in these heavy Republican districts, Democrats have done on average 16 points better than was expected. They've also, I think, gone 6-0 in state legislative races where there's been special elections. So that's the swing so far. Now, a lot of it will come down to who's the candidate, if they can keep that edge or not. Right now we have, I think, five announced candidates at this point.
I'm not sure if anybody else is going to jump in. I think this is pretty much going to be the field.
No, as a matter of fact, the very fact that the Paul Ryan Congressional Leadership Fund is here will probably scare off a whole bunch of people. The reality of it is
on the Republican side, it will. And
no, there's nobody running a primary against but Martha McSally.
I think that's why.
But nobody's announced up to this point. The Leadership Fund just came in a couple of months ago. So the reality of it is this is political warfare. And what you do is you put your best tanks and your best artillery and your best defenses and your best offensive capabilities in front of your best candidates. And Martha is a fantastic candidate. She's worked very, very hard for this district. I can't even begin to tell you how many different groups that would not normally support a Republican candidate that support Martha McSally, the candidate, not the party, but Martha, because Martha has been very independent. She's been very forward, up front, and she's home every weekend out in the district. She's one of the most visible congressional candidates, congressional people in the nation. And she's worked very hard, and she has created good legislation that has positively, in fact, impacted Congressional District 2. Whether it be border security and the Douglas Port of Entry, whether it be getting more blue uniforms on the border so that we have better commerce and better, whether it be supporting transportation, water, you name it, she is up front on these issues, and she has been working hard to bring back the very things that she's supposed to be doing for her district, and a lot of people are very, very pleased with her. The point of the fund being here is basically just what I said. You're putting your best up in front of your best.
Yeah, it's a nice campaign speech for Martha, and I'm sure she'll appreciate that plug.
It's my job.
and you did it well, but let's look at some additional facts.
That's the easy part of the job.
There's facts, Dan. And there's also perception. Here are the facts. The facts is, again, her voting record is aligned with Trump, over 95% voting with Trump, including voting against the Affordable Care Act, voting to take health care away from hundreds of thousands of Arizonans, and I think over 60,000 in her district in CD2. She's voted against DACA. She has supported alternative bills to repeal DACA and voted in 2015 to defund the DACA program. Those affect
DACA,
families.
Wait a minute. You want to talk about DACA?
I just did. Let me finish, Jim. Like it or not, these are the facts with McSally's record. The other perception, and you talked about her being out in the public. Well, those must be with your Republican donor house parties and other groups, or as we know, places that folks have to pay to hear her. There have not been town halls. There's been multiple calls for town halls. She's either doing them where they're tightly controlled or they're on the telephone. And her constituents who want to go listen, want to go talk with her, want her to answer their questions, aren't able to get to those. And so McSally has a horrible record of getting out in public, meeting in free and open forums with her constituents. It's almost as though she's hiding from them. You talk about Ann Kirkpatrick. Well, Ann conducted dozens of town halls each time she has run, free and open to Democrats, to Republicans, to independents. Martha McSally hides from that and avoids that. And that's certainly one of the reasons that this money has come in early, because they realize that she's in trouble.
Well, two things. Number one, Martha hasn't hidden from anything, and I guarantee you that every high school that she's been to, not a single one of those high school kids paid to see her. The other thing is, as you talked about DACA, DACA is a horrible bill. It was a horrible executive order, because it never gave them legal status. All it did was defer a deportation. They don't have legal status. Martha McSally supports comprehensive immigration reform that gives an absolute legal status to the children that were brought here, unbeknownst, you know, to when they were kids.
Except her voting record does not reflect that.
Absolutely, it reflects that. Every time that she's had anything to do with immigration reform, she's been up front and center, and with the best interests of CD2. All people in CD2.
All right. When we come back on the Monday Political Face-Off, with the midterms coming up, I just had a thought. Will Donald Trump be visiting to campaign for Martha McSally and other Republicans around the country? We'll think about that, mull that over when we come back on the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster coming up Tuesday at noon. The YWCA in Tucson celebrating its centennial. Also an air quality update and our Tuesday Moneymaker Report with Shelley Fishman. Buckmaster airing noon to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening, podcast, and show archive at buckmastershow.com. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Dr. Don Jorgensen is seated to my left, and James Kelly is here on my right. And this face-off, as all of our Monday Political Face-Offs, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, they're on Facebook as well. Before the break, I was mentioning Don and James about whether or not Donald Trump, we will see him perhaps being active in the upcoming midterm elections. Jim, do you see him doing some campaigning for maybe selected candidates?
I cannot look into the mind of our president and how he chooses to campaign for any particular candidate. I sometimes wonder if he knows himself 24 hours before he decides to do it. I will say this, whatever campaigning the president does for any candidate during the midterms, man, that's down the road. You've got general elections. I mean, that's September of next year. That's 12 months away. I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Don?
Well, Donald Trump doesn't campaign for other candidates. Donald Trump campaigns for Donald Trump. So wherever he goes, it will be a media event to highlight Donald Trump. I can tell you with regard to Arizona, no one has any idea, but the Democrats would be very pleased if Donald Trump came to Arizona, particularly stood next to Martha McSally and highlighted that.
Rejoice to see Air Force One landing at Davis Mountain Air Force.
Oh, yeah. You know, again, well, she votes with him all the time. Yeah.
Be careful what you wish for, because I got to tell you something. The Democrats might jump for joy and say, oh boy, we've got an issue, but it will only solidify the Democrats. Donald Trump won, okay? And I'm just telling you, it might solidify your Democrat base, but man, we've got a third party not designated independents and a little more than a third of Republicans. So be careful what you wish for on that one.
Well, you make a good point. There's a third of them that are independents, and those are the folks that are moving away from Donald Trump because they have had the chance now to listen to him and to see that.
But at the local level, independents break conservative.
Well, not so much in CD2. They've broken both ways, and that's why you want the facts out there. You want everything out there. And if McSally is voting with them 95% of the time, she needs to stand next to him and defend that.
You know, I wonder now with health care, it looks like it's not going to happen here before this week. The deadline is coming up this week. Something's
Thursday. I believe the vote's going to be Thursday.
So, Jim and Don, who's going to own this? Don, you want to go first?
Well,
who's going to own this failure?
Well, the Republicans own it. They own the White House. They own the Senate. They own the House. They've had, of course, as we've said, 6-7 years now to come up with an improved health care plan. They have not done it. And now that they have control of all three houses, they've had plenty of time to come up with a plan. They have failed every time. And now, after we thought it was kind of dead and buried in terms of repeal and replace, here it comes at the last minute, simply because they only have until June 30th to pass any change with
September 30th.
September 30th with just 50 votes. And so it's a slap-together plan, worse than the previous one, which is hard to believe. And Republican senators themselves have admitted the only reason they've done it is because they were pressured by their billionaire donors to give them their tax breaks. That's where this has come from. And you had at least 7 Republican senators admit to that even before they had read the bill, that that's the only reason for doing it. It's hard to imagine, but this bill, and there are revisions that came as early as this morning that are removing even more of the protections of the Affordable Care Act from healthcare, namely covering pre-existing conditions or protecting maximum caps and such.
Well,
so it's allowing states, the current revised bill would allow states to automatically make those changes. They don't even have to go through that waiver process anymore and can allow insurance companies to reduce coverages, to increase premiums beyond the point where they're affordable to the folks who need the care.
Well, I've obviously had this argument for the last 5 days. The reality of it is this. Block granting back to the states gives the states the flexibility that they need specifically to address their populations. Give you a perfect example. There's five states that take up 40% of the Medicaid budget. Okay, California, New York, Maryland, Massachusetts, and Illinois, I believe. You take a look at a state like Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is doing twice the number of coverage, one-third the cost of Maryland. So what's going on there? The reality of it is this. Good governors, good programs, like the Access Program in Arizona, operate better because it's local and they know. There are some things that can be wavered. There's some things that can't be wavered. You're not going to see, I don't care if the governor is a Republican or a Democrat, you are not going to see governors hurt their own people. They're going to do what's best for their people and for having health insurance. Right now, Obamacare hurts the poor the most. The people who pay the fines more often than anybody else because they didn't have the money to pay for the premiums were people who made less than $25,000 a year. Families making less than $25,000 a year. A family that's making less than $25,000 a year cannot afford a $5,000 deductible on a bronze plan. That wipes them out. A $5,000 bill will wipe them out in 6 months because they just can't afford it. Obamacare hurts the poor. And we've got to fix that. And giving the block grants back to the states gives the governors the ability to help their own poor.
What's wrong with that?
First of all, good job on hitting the two Republican talking points that are thrown out again and again and usually false. Let's just take that last one. You mentioned that families can't afford $5,000 deductible. Most families can't. Middle-class families can't. That is why within the Affordable Care Act, there were the subsidies provided to insurance companies and to the patients to reduce that cost.
Then why did not the poor pay their own?
Allow me to finish, Jim. You had your time. I gave you your time and listened to a lot of things that weren't true. Allow me to finish. That is why those subsidies were put in, both for the insurance companies and for the patients. What did the Republicans do the past several years? They reduced those or eliminated those subsidies. That's what have caused those costs to increase. The plan now removes any protections that these middle class and working class and poor families have when it comes to a child that needs ongoing care. They're increasing the limits. When it comes to poor families, when it comes to adults with disabilities, they're going to lose the opportunity to have access to care because the states have the ability to let the insurance companies run amok, just like they did before the Affordable Care Act came about. That's why it came about. Now, you're talking about there's only certain states that the money go to. Yes, those were the states that accepted the federal money for Medicaid expansion that was offered to every state. So they treat more people in their states with Medicaid than the others did. And Arizona was one of those states. That's one of the things that the previous governor, Jan Brewer, understood and did right. Ducey doesn't seem to understand that, and now he's talking about supporting a bill that will cost Arizonans somewhere between $500 million and $1.7 billion. It's tough to tell with all these changes
because it hasn't
even
been scored by the CBO, so you
don't
know
those
numbers.
And yet the Republicans want to rush it through. And that's the point,
well,
too.
Well, don't throw out numbers when you don't know what the numbers are.
Well,
that's my
point. The first review was that. But if you're saying that, then I agree with you. Just like I agree with Senator McCain, health care reform should go through the regular order where it's a bipartisan process, where you have hearings, where you're looking at the whole picture and not rushing it through to just satisfy the Republican donor class. You have Senator Alexander right now. You have Senator Patty Murray, who have been working on bipartisan plans. I'd love to see them scrap this and work toward a real bipartisan solution to health care.
Okay. Jim, we're just about out of time, but go ahead.
Okay. The reality of it is this, is that if they can't, if a poor family can't even afford the deductible, then that means that they're not getting health care to begin with. So that
the
point is completely, but they couldn't even afford that with the subsidies. Look at how many, 11 million families didn't even pay their premiums. Okay. Didn't even pay their premiums, even with the subsidy.
If you're saying the plan needs to be improved, I agree.
That's my point. This is an improvement, and it gives the ability to the states.
It's removing the protections.
No. It gives the ability to the states to do what they need to do for their population.
Jim, I'm just about out of time, but you've been a huge supporter of John McCain. You worked on his campaign. Are you offended by some of these remarks on Facebook?
Of course. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know,
about
wishing,
the senator and his wishing
vote for people's
against
deaths.
The health
you know, there was a moron president of some Oath Keepers group that called for his assassination, for goodness sakes. And that was even before we knew he had cancer. It's just ridiculous. It needs to stop on all sides. It just needs to stop on all sides. I understand, you know, Senator McCain's vote. I understand he wants that process. Mm-hmm. A process that was denied Republicans 8 years ago. He wants that process. I get that. But by the same token, you take a look at Senator Flake, who goes, you know, the process isn't perfect, but this is a much better bill, and we need to give that flexibility back to the governors. So I support both of their decisions, but I am in favor of the Graham bill.
Final word, Don?
Which would, again, take health care coverage away from over 400,000 Arizonans.
Okay.
That's insanity.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com on Facebook is presented our Monday political face-off. Any framing needs, believe me, this gentleman, Moe Gaul, G-A-U-L, and his family, they really do such a great job. Thank you, Moe, for your support of our program. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I love this kind of weather. Boy, this is good gardening weather. 3384 East River Road. Our friends over at Green Things. Early fall weather coming up on Saturday from 10 to noon. They do these free workshops. Terrific over at Green Things. I like this one. Yoga with mini meditation in the gardens at the greenhouse Saturday morning over at Green Things. Find out more about all their workshops at greenthingsaz.com. Let's go now on the live line to one of our fine two dozen contributors. His name is Keith Rosenblum. He's the Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico. We're so honored that he's a part of this program. How are you, Keith?
Bill, I'm doing well. Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Well, in 1985, as a young reporter with the Arizona Daily Star, you were in Mexico City when I believe that the recent earthquake is pretty much the biggest earthquake in Mexico City since that 85 quake. Did Mexico City, did they learn any lessons as far as building codes and things like that, Keith?
My hunch is yes. I'm not sure that I'm the architectural or code enforcement archivist that can answer that. But first, I was a young reporter at the Daily Star in 1985, and when the quake struck, I think in the morning, there was discussion whether it was, in my mind anyway, I was always of the view that you should spend, when you had advertising revenues that came from local sources, did that mean that you sent reporters to cover things halfway across the world or halfway across Mexico? And so I made my case that it might not be a story that a local newsroom would want to cover. And I think that that protest lasted about a fraction, like eight-tenths of a second, as Frank Johnson, the managing editor, said, just be quiet and go try to get to Mexico City. So I went with Alan Doro, the photographer, and we got there that evening. We went through Chihuahua. Actually, the Mexicans held up a plane for us. We went to Hermosillo, Tucson, Hermosillo, on the flight that existed at that time, not to bring up any sore topics, and then went from Hermosillo to Chihuahua. And then I begged the ground crew at Chihuahua Airport to hold a plane that was going to Mexico City, and they did. So we raced out. We actually ran onto the tarmac with an employee from Aeromexico. This would never happen in
wow.
anywhere in the world today. And we got in late in the day, early evening, and I can't remember when the aftershock came, but it was an aftershock that was, I was in the Zona Rosa, and I remember the door, there was an aftershock, and the building really did rock. I told Alan, I mean, this is in one of those odd moments where you realize just how human logic is fallible. I said, Alan, the building's going to fall. I think we should go up, not down. We were on the eighth or ninth floor. Dan Rather was in the had just either gotten in or out of the elevator.
Oh my goodness!
And so, Alan, as well as Frank Johnson, because I was on now a two streak of saying smart things for the day, he said, "Keith, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard." And so you go down. The building is not going to, if it collapses, we're going to be crushed anyway. As it collapses, and we're on the top, we're on the roof going down. I just thought the ride down might save it. This is seriously the things that go on in your mind when a building is rocking. And anyway, we took the elevator. We did take the elevator down, which is probably foolish. But we got out, and again, in the streets, you had thousands of people just waiting. the answer to your question, yes, I think, and I mean, a lot at that time, a lot of the buildings that either collapsed or were compromised, it turns out they weren't code. They hadn't met the rebar standards of the day. There were things that were, that there had been shortcuts taken in construction, because the odd part was that the, a lot of the buildings, the churches, a lot of the old architecture of Mexico withstood it just perfectly, which shows you that the Aztecs and their followers actually had their act together, because they knew they were on earthquake-prone terrain. They were on a lake, you know, a riverbed there. And so a lot of these old buildings withstood it just beautifully, and it was the newer buildings that that collapsed, for some of them for want of proper architecture, you know, precautions, and others just because they were in an area, and this is what I was reading. I was looking at the Universal website for Mexico City. That's the big paper, one of the big national papers. And aside from a list of all the countries that have been providing foreign aid in this case, and I got to witness that myself when I was in Mexico City in '85. I was there for 3 full weeks and sent stories back by just running out to Mexico City Airport, handing off cartridges of film and handwritten notes to people. They carried them back up here to the newsroom. There was no internet at that point. There was it was just barely fax, and I'm not sure that we could transmit by fax anyway. But that was really a communications genuine blackout. I think that since then, it's been a lot tougher to build something that wouldn't withstand an earthquake. And I wanted to, this is what the point I was going to make about the Universal stories. It was actually about how Mexico now has something in the order of 25 different measurements in addition to the Richter scale. That is, people who tell you about obviously the 7.1 or the 8.2 or the earthquake itself has this one variable, this one metric that everybody subscribes to. But there's also the internal force, kind of like a wind, what do you call it, like a, they call it a remolino. There's different parts of that, how it shakes, what the movement of the shake is. And so I guess the same way that Eskimos have their words for snow, people in earthquake zones also come up with new metrics to define exactly what's happened. So this, if you look at the damage from this quake in Mexico City, it's actually quite particularized to several of the neighborhoods. In this case, these are a lot of them are upper scale neighborhoods where the greatest damage came, and I suppose that's from the movement, the lateral movements of the ground. It's a topic that I don't know much about.
How has this brought the country together?
It's a leading question. I'm not sure it has. I don't know if the I'm not sure that. I mean, there's always these expressions of solidarity. And there's probably, you know, there's donations that are given. I don't know if it brings the country together. I know that there's a lot of lip service to it. I know that government to government, it is wonderful in that regard. You can see, you know, I remember when I was in '85 and the scenario repeated itself. You have the government. Can you imagine Israel sending somebody, you know, a team of people with dogs and the measuring devices to look for people, or to analyze buildings that aren't entirely collapsed, or all the different things that are needed post-earthquake, or to provide aid. It's a focal point of Mexico today, and the company for which I work, Tap Royal, the bus company, has been inundated with people wanting to give something that can be sent to Mexico City. So some of these things are being sent like 1,800 miles from places like Tucson or Phoenix or Fresno, you know, or other destinations on this bus company's route map. Has it brought the country together? I don't know, but I think there's always a certain goodwill, fraternal factor that goes on, at least for a while. You'll recall or you won't recall that during the '85 quake, President de la Madrid says something to the effect of Mexico doesn't need any more assistance at that time. It was really a weird statement that he made.
Huh.
And he was met by popular ridicule. And at that point, Plácido Domingo, the famous opera star, who has very strong connections to Mexico, I don't think he's a Mexican national, but he basically goes on national TV and says, "President de la Madrid does not know of what he's speaking. Send us everything you can." It was really, and that's it's the quake and the kind of the organization of citizens, of regular, of ordinary citizens, and the outrage that the military was used to kind of protect sites where there were collapsed buildings instead of doing something, that actually was a defining moment in recent Mexican history, and probably was a precursor to a lot of the political changes that came as well. It was saying, whoa, our government really is deficient. We should ignore it, and let's use whatever media or methods we can to overrule it. And in that case, if you go back, you could probably find a YouTube. You can probably find a Plácido Domingo statement from that time. He was eloquent and just precise in saying, we do not have this under control at all. And in the end, De La Madrid obviously backtracks.
Well, we had that same discussion about whether to send somebody at the TV station I was working at the time in San Jose in 1985, and it took our news director just a few seconds to make the decision to send someone because of the growing Mexican population in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I'm glad we did send a crew down there, and they had to work through some really trying conditions with electricity and batteries and times have changed so much with social media that folks don't, it seems like kind of the primitive dark ages, doesn't it?
Well, and because obviously a TV station in San Jose mm-hmm. or a newspaper in Tucson you're generally not going to provide better information than the Associated Press or the New York Times or the national services that are already there.
Right.
But what you look for, obviously, is the local angle. Your station would have looked for people from the Bay Area who
right.
were imperiled or who were victims. And that's what we tried also. We looked for every angle we could for people from southern Arizona.
All right. Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Thank you, Keith, for joining us.
My pleasure, Bill.
All right. Coming up now on 1246, Monday edition, September 25th of the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030. KVOI, it's Tucson's voice with live stream at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. What a great weekend coming up it would be to travel to Silver City. This is a great time of year in the Gila National Wilderness. All the leaves are turning and the temperature is certainly cooling off. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. Their fine website has the full listing of the great places to stay and really dozens of recreation opportunities for you in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Mark Sykes joins us once a month. He's one of our two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. We're honored to have him. He's CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. This is a great organization, PSI. I'm a member of the organization, and for 45 years, they've been this nonprofit that has really decided, hey, we're going to make a difference and engage in the whole exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's good to be here.
We've heard a lot about the Cassini mission. I first heard about it when I was working over at the U of A, because U of A had a pretty big part of that Cassini mission 13 years ago. PSI took an active role as well, right?
In
the mission to Saturn?
A lot of people joined us that were active in the mission. And so today we have a number of people who are on the science team and we're working various instruments from the magnetospheric instruments as well as the spectroscopic instruments and imaging systems. It's been an amazing mission, and it's sad to see it plow into the atmosphere.
Yeah, it had to end sometime, I guess, and 13 years is certainly a pretty good lifespan, and the decision was made, I guess, pretty much to take it in. Kind of a death dive, right?
They took some higher risk observations, knowing that they had limited fuel, and particularly since the discovery that Enceladus, that's the satellite that has the plumes coming out of it of
Saturn
of water, and so there could be there's definitely an ocean underneath the surface. Could there be life in there? And if Cassini, which didn't go through a real rigorous decontamination thing, is just floating around in the system, could it impact Enceladus and contaminate it? So to be just super 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 safe, they decided to go on into the inside of the rings and do some more investigations there, and then plummet into the atmosphere. But in doing so, of course, we saw just incredible stuff going in, like these small satellites like Pan and Atlas that have these fans extending out from their equators that looks like Michael Rennie's spaceship or something.
Amazing discoveries.
Just fantastic.
I mean, what did we know about when you think about it? I mean, people are fascinated, of course, with Saturn because it's the planet that has the rings. People have always been fascinated by it. What are some of the most important things that we learned, Mark Sykes, from this mission?
Well, certainly I'd say number one was the plumes from Enceladus. That was a complete surprise. It's kept warm by the tidal distortions, but so there's been an ocean there for billions of years. The other is Titan, the giant moon there that has these methane lakes on the surface, and we see these images of the Titan surface. It looks like Earth. We see the same kind of processes of rivers and lakes and mountains and stuff, except the lakes are methane and ethane. The mountains are water ice, which is as hard as rock out there because it's so cold. And there's pebbles and stuff on the ground from the lander that went down there. And it's just a...
Are these deep lakes or...
I think they're hundreds of meters deep.
Wow. Methane?
Of methane, yes, yes. And so I've done some public lectures where I talk about comparisons between planets, right. and I take a radar image of Titan Lakes and then a radar image of the Aegean Sea with some of the islands there, and you can't tell which is which.
Oh, my goodness. there was this other discovery, I believe, about we didn't know between the rings what kind of material was between the different rings of Saturn. And it turns out there really wasn't any material.
Yeah. In fact, when we see flew in interior to the rings, right. I was expecting it to just like go away because it hit something.
Sure.
But no. And the detailed studies of the rings revealed all these patterns and stuff in there due to interaction with gravitational harmonics from Saturn's interior, from the little satellites that are moving around within the ring system. It's a very complex, but in that complexity is a lot of information about the Saturn system and how it works. And there's even a lot of interesting discoveries made by from all the water that's being pumped out by Enceladus, by the hydrogens coming off of Titan, and then that gets caught up in the magnetic field, and it's like, what happens to all that stuff? And so there was the whole Saturn ended up with having a fairly strong field, and so they're able to understand a lot of the physics that was just completely unknown before Cassini arrived at the system.
This is one of this Cassini mission to Saturn was one of the iconic missions that kind of got a lot of publicity and rightly so, and mm-hmm. that were launched in the 90s. We're kind of coming up on a period here where some of these high profile American missions are coming to an end.
Yeah, Bill. Right at this point in time, we have a lot of missions that are getting into superannuated status. That is, they're old, and so they're on extended
life support.
And if none of them get extended again, the only mission that we have about 11, or I should say, let's say a few months ago we had about 11. The only mission that we'll have in 2020 is OSIRIS-REx. And then we're going to have
refresh our listeners about that.
That's an asteroid sample return mission that's run out of the University of Arizona right here in Tucson.
Okay.
And then there'll be some missions launched after that, like Mars 2020 and a couple Discovery missions. But yeah, we are entering a kind of a dark period, and it's because of simply a lack of continued investment in our space program and coasting on our laurels for a very long time. And so now we're going to pay the price, you know, that is, in fact, I won't go into some of those details, but hopefully, you know, there's a lot of discussion about how to support a space program and should there be a kind of a base level at which we're going to be funding level plus a commitment to like five Discovery missions
a decade, two
New Frontiers,
right?
And these are competed missions too, and so they're cost capped. They're easy to control the costs on that, and then if we have flagships, Congress, which are very expensive, multi-billion-dollar things, Congress decide whether we would do that on a case by case basis. And this was this kind of pyramid, if you will, of missions has been recommended by the Decadal Survey, which was by the National Academy of Sciences, and to give some kind of a stability to our American space exploration efforts, as well as support for our research and analysis programs, which are kind of the gasoline in the car, or the oil in the engine, you might say, that keeps it running. You know, because we send the missions out and you see these great pictures, but the real return to the taxpayer is all the science that comes out of mm-hmm. it, and that comes both from the science team, but also from broader analysis of the data that's coming back by the American Planetary Science Community.
We have some real hard questions, Mark Sykes, about where we want to go with our space exploration program in this country. Isn't that safe to say?
Both human and robotic. And mm-hmm. and human, they talk about Mars, but you know, Mars is going to cost $1 trillion. So what do you think the chance of that happening are?
Sure.
And even knows? Going back to the moon, it's you know NASA's budget isn't going to be doubled. There are targets beyond the Earth, near-Earth asteroid targets, that are actually easier to get to than the moon. Because they're very low velocity, and there's a number of them that you can have some quick turnaround times.
All right. I strongly suggest folks go to PSI for planetaryscienceinstitute.edu. It is part of that whole educational system, your website with the EDU there, yeah?
Well, yeah. We kind of got that EDU back at the beginning.
Today
it would have been more of an ORG.
I thought it might have been qualified more these days for ORG.
But we do education. Yeah, we do outreach. We bring our science to the public.
And we strongly recommend people check out PSI.edu. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw, Ray Allen helping out as well, and of course, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow, and can't believe the YWCA celebrating 100 years here in Tucson. That and more tomorrow on Buckmaster.